Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Thank you, Luke. It is Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carson, Scott Anderson. So a little bit later on, we'll talk some Lions with the Birchie kid. Something weird. Did you see on the injury report that now they are listing Marcus Davenport's injury as a chest injury? I'm going to raise my hand and say over here in the corner, nobody needs to pay attention. I'm getting very concerned about it. I think Marcus Davenport may have an injury problem.
What?
Chest is not good. This better not be a torn pec. I got a bad feeling over here. Bad feeling.
Yeah, when they make the change in distinction, that doesn't sound good.
Nope.
I mean, I don't know why I thought shoulder sounded better, but then when it changes, oh no, it's not shoulder. It's chest. You can't help but think, okay, chest, that's the pec, and people suffer torn pecs all the time. Just happened to somebody else over the weekend. I forget which NFL player it was. An edge rusher or a defensive lineman.
Well, it was Kalijah Kancey.
Kalijah Kancey. Yeah. He got hit with the torn pec that's going to knock him out. That sucks. It absolutely sucks. Don't know if that's the case with Davenport. I remain hopeful.
Yeah.
But
Kang, am I wrong? I don't feel good about this.
No, you're not wrong, unfortunately. And with Marcus Davenport, it was always with most fans, not if, but when. Yeah. Right? And the win happened the same like game as last year, right? Second game in the season last year as well?
Yeah, he played two games last year, right?
Yeah, I think it was. And when he hurt his elbow at the time.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this one. No, maybe it'll be nothing.
Sometimes his body doesn't seem like it could hold up anymore to professional sports. Like clearly for an average human being, he's in great shape. Yeah. He's a monster. He's physically strong, all that stuff. But I think when you play at this level, the less than 1% that play at it, there's certain things your body has, you put stress on certain muscles and joints, and maybe his body just can't hold up anymore, you know? And at the least right now, we know he's hurt. He hasn't practiced. At the worst, yeah, you said that quiet part, Doug, and I don't want to say it, but it could be.
Let's get back to your open line calls. Robbie's in Clinton Township and next here on 97.1. Hi, Robbie.
Hey, how you doing?
We're great.
All right, Robbie.
That's the main thing. If I was a Tigers coach, I'd pitch all the starters as far as they can go and less chances of us relief pitchers losing the game, maybe.
So it's funny. We got a call earlier. Somebody wanted a quicker hook. You want them to leave him in longer?
Well, I think it's situational. I mean, that school was pitching
better than the relievers.
I mean, look, they're getting very close to the point where they might have to really stretch some guys to avoid bullpen disasters.
Just put it this way. For the first, till they clinch the division, do that. As far as they can, but don't wear them out, but do the best they can, as long as they can.
Well, unfortunately, when they've lost, it hasn't been because of the bullpen. It's been because they haven't scored runs. And it was the same case yesterday. I mean, sure, they brought in the bullpen in the seventh inning and Melton gave up a two-run homer to Ramirez. But Scoble had thrown over 100 pitches at that point. They took him out. I get it. And then you're going with one of your most reliable arms, which is Melton. Mm-hmm. He gets a line out and then walks a batter and then boom, two-run homer. And the Tigers end up losing 3-1. Melton settled down after that, but it's too late. Damage was done, but the team's not going to score runs. It doesn't matter if the bullpen fails you or not. I mean, it can be demoralizing, I guess, if you're only down by two, you get into the later innings, you're trying to get into a groove, and then top half of the inning, other team scores four runs, it throws up a crooked number, and then you're demoralized.
We opened the show talking Tigers pretty much the whole first hour, spent pretty much the entire second hour dedicated mostly to football talk. The thing about the Tigers is there's a much better version of them in there. We've seen it. We saw it for the better part of a year. From the beginning of August to the middle of July, they were a damn good baseball team. I think they had the best record in baseball over that stretch. That feels to me like too long of a sample size, too much of a sample size for it to be nothing more than a fluke. We've gotten that text today. This whole thing was a fluke. It was a mirage. But I trust that whatever's in there, AJ Hinch can pull it out. He already has. He already has been able to squeeze what I think is an amazing amount out of what doesn't look to me like the best roster in baseball. Doesn't look to me like the best roster in the American League. They've acted like it a lot, like they're the best roster in baseball in the American League. Right now, they're playing like Hmong. And the question becomes, can they pull out of it? This looks a lot like that July stretch, that terrible, historically bad July stretch where they lost 12 of 13 and did it in ugly, ugly fashion. Cleveland's going away for a minute here. And they need this series against Atlanta desperately. And you know what's crazy? As bad as 3.5 looks, 3.5 with 9 games to go still has them a 96.7% chance of making the playoffs, according to Fangraphs. It looks terrible. But this is why I started that saying, when you're in a losing streak, it feels like you're never going to win again. Right. And you know what started it? It started in the middle of college basketball season. Seems like Michigan and Michigan State, they've had some really good teams, you know, Final Four caliber teams, deep tournament run teams. But in the middle of like February, they'll each lose 3 in a row, like, or middle of January, they each lose 3 in a row, and you feel like, oh my God, they're never going to win again. Hosting NIT games here soon. It happens in baseball too. It's a really bad time for it.
It is a bad time, and it's been a bad post-All-Star break for the team, specifically for the All-Star players. You look at the four position players that made the All-Star team. Riley Green has a 701 OPS. It's below average in the league for a guy that is, you know, can hit a ton here. Gleyber Torres has a 662 OPS since the All-Star game. Well below average. Average is around 715. Zach McKinstry, his OPS is 624. And then you have Javier Baez, whose OPS is down to 517 since the All-Star game. These guys were all doing an amazing job at the plate before the game. Since the All-Star game, they've all gone in the tank. And it's not good. Now other guys have stepped up. Dylan Dingler's OPS is 796 during that time. Carpenter's 870. You know, limited time here for Parker Meadows, but he's at 874. And Torkelson, he's been consistent. He's 745 after the All-Star break. I think before he was well over 800. But it's the lineup. The guys are not hitting. They're not hitting well at all. I mean, even Colt Keith's OPS is 690 since the All-Star game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Big weekend of football on tap. Feels like it's a chance for all three of the teams here, Michigan, Michigan State, and Detroit, to all validate their level of goodness. You win, you validate, you're good. Or at least means you have that gear in you. You can be good. You know, clearly the Lions taking on Baltimore is one of the contending teams out of the AFC. It's a team that if you beat them. It's not like going to make people forget about the Green Bay game, but 2-1 with Green Bay, Chicago, and Baltimore is more than acceptable. And Baltimore's favored in this game. It's one of the more losable games on a Lions schedule. But the fact of the matter is, chance to prove that they still have that gear in them if they go beat Baltimore. Last trip to Baltimore did not go well. Lost 38-6. I think that was the score. Michigan State, look, 3-0. Is 3-0 a product of who they've played, or is 3-0, is it legit? You'll beat USC at USC. I think Michigan State's pretty damn legit. Like, it's a great test for them. Michigan, you know, Nebraska, I'm not sure who Nebraska is, to be quite honest, but if you beat Nebraska, you're starting to set up a team that's going to beat, like, this is a swing game for them, right? They could lose it. They're only a 1.5 favorite, but Nebraska might be pretty good. They might be pretty good. And so, you know, whatever Michigan can be in terms of record, this would be a step towards achieving that.
Well, Nebraska went out and they got a couple of transfer offensive linemen. One is Mark Spindler's kid, Rocco Spindler, who played and started at Notre Dame.
And love Spindog.
And the other is a transfer from Alabama. So they went out and they got guys that can open up holes in run game and also block in the passing game. When you've got a young quarterback like Dylan Raiola, who's just a true sophomore, that's what you need to do. You need to protect him. They have not been tested yet this year. They played Cincinnati, I think, to start the season. Yes. It was a close game. Beyond
Akron and Houston Christian.
Yeah. And those are you know, easy opponents. The last two were easy opponents, and they ran up the score pretty good on them. I don't know what you can really expect out of Nebraska either, but I do think that Nebraska is probably an on-par opponent with Michigan. The question is, which Michigan team are you going to see? Are you going to see a team that's able to run the ball? Is Bryce Underwood going to look more like he did against Central Michigan? Or is he going to look flustered because this will be another real defense he's going to see?
Nebraska has athletes, and I'm sure they have access to the Oklahoma game tape. They can see what Brent Venables threw at him. But we'll get to that in more details later. I mentioned a poll on NFL.com. Kang, what was the question? This is interesting. Listen to this.
All right, the question was, which NFC team is the biggest threat to dethrone the Eagles in 2025?
Okay, and there was choices?
The choices were your Detroit Lions, the Los Angeles Rams, the Washington Commanders, or other.
What?
So they left off the Niners, the Bucks. Those are two ones that are pretty big, right?
They left off the Packers.
Packers as well. Who beat the Lions.
This is their and choice the Commanders. Of teams. Their choice of teams omitted the Packers. Now,
who beat two of the three teams that they put up here?
Was this a Twitter poll where you could only have four choices?
No, this was their own on their own website, NFL.com. And there was over 86,000 votes.
Did they have the technology to add more than four teams? I would imagine they do. Twitter, you can only add four choices to your Twitter poll, but... And they omitted Green Bay.
Huh.
And Tampa and the 49ers. They just have other. Okay, I'm going to guess other's winning this thing, is it? You voted?
I did vote. So Gator, would you like to take a guess?
Yes. Other.
All right, you both have other?
Yep.
Finishing in last place is other. With 20% of the vote.
Are these people that took the poll, are they dumb?
That's not one of the questions.
Yes,
are you dumb?
No,
yes or
other.
No?
What?
Yeah, follow. Do you want to know the rest of the results here?
Do I?
I do.
All right, so fourth place was other, like I said, with 20%. Finishing in third place with 22% of the vote are the Commanders.
No.
So according to this poll, one of the two, the Lions or the Rams, are the most biggest threat to dethrone the Eagles. Coming in second with 24% of the vote is the Detroit Lions, which means the number one threat to dethrone the Eagles in 2025 is LA Rams with 35% of the vote.
Really?
Yep.
I think that's crazy.
Wait a minute.
First of all, the poll's flawed. The poll's ridiculous.
Let me try to wrap my head around this. So the Rams have no fans in L.A. because they don't care about football in California, and specifically Los Angeles. But somehow the rest of the country does, and they think that the Rams are the team that can unseat.
Yeah.
Is it because they're playing this week? Is that it?
Maybe.
They get the instant gratification on the poll if the Rams
beat. Yeah, you know what? Your point that there are no Rams fans, I mean, there's some Rams fans, but they probably have one of the smaller fan base. Like, that's not a – it's L.A. They're fans of the beach.
Right.
And the Lakers.
Even you want to say they're Stafford fans, like former Lions – they're Lions fans are rooting for Stafford. The Lions are part of this poll.
The Lions are in the poll.
So how does this – what?
Somewhere, somebody's going to look at this. Somebody in the NFL is going to notice that an intern put up a bizarre poll.
Is this a Wikipedia hijack?
Should we all go vote for other? Tell everybody to go vote for other? No, because we really don't care. It was fun to do it when it was like...
A lot of fun back then.
We used to hijack polls of opposing. I remember doing it with the Boston Globe. They'd always put polls up like, Pistons and Celtics, who do you got? And we'd go flood it. We'd tell the listeners and we'd bombard it with Pistons... votes and end up skewing the thing in Detroit's face. That was fun. This one, I don't know that we really are, you know, sabotaging any specific fan base. Weird. Very weird. Other NFL games this weekend. You mentioned the Rams at Philly. Any sense on this one? Like,
The schedule for games, I think, is pretty good this week. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you gotta beat the man, right? So yeah. I think Philly is absolutely the team to eat. They're playing at home. Although the NFL now coming out with the tush push and saying, we got to officiate it better. Who knew that? Who knew they were going to come out and say that? Oh, wait a minute. All of us said that earlier in the week.
Yeah.
So now they're going to pay closer attention to it, so they better do it right. But that's not why they're successful. They're successful because they're just a really good roster of players. And I think it's a better roster than the Rams have. But I think it's an interesting game for sure. You know, the Rams, their defensive line is no joke. Those guys can get after you. That's after Aaron Donald retired. They can still get after you. They drafted well with Verse and others, and I like what they have.
They've only allowed one touchdown. The Rams have only allowed one touchdown through two games.
I was thinking about this earlier today because we're starting to see this. Now, it's only 2 weeks into the season.
Yep.
And I've seen a couple references on Twitter of rankings already, like, you know, they're sixth in the NFL in rushing yards. And I'm like, all right. At what point do we start to believe or put validity in statistics?
Six.
You think six? You like six?
Yeah. It's funny. I just chose that number randomly, but I guess that's what the first number that popped into my head. You give me six games and I'll have a sense of who you really are. But a lot of it has to do with who you've played, right?
Yes.
You have to, once, you know, the schedules sort of start to shake out and you've played some good teams and some bad teams, but... Yeah, it's completely irrelevant after 2 weeks. Another interesting matchup. Cincinnati and the Vikings.
Yes.
What this was going to be was it was going to be Joe Burrow and the Bengals against J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. What we're getting is Jake Browning and the Bengals versus Carson Wentz and the Vikings, which is weird.
It is weird.
Yep.
I totally forgot that J.J. McCarthy was out.
Yeah.
That's one to watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're hoping the Bengals continue to lose games.
Who do we want to lose this game
more?
They
haven't lost the game yet. But
don't we kind of want Minnesota to lose it?
No.
We don't. You want the Bengals.
I'm not worried about the Vikings as much. I'd like to see the Bengals go to tailspin.
Now, people have to understand why. Gator thinks there's a path to Trey Hendrickson.
And there is. But the Bengals have to be having a losing record and find themselves out of it. Before the trade deadline.
Kang and I disagree because
we got a
lunch bet on this one. We do not think Trey Hendrickson will get traded. Gator thinks Trey Hendrickson will get traded. But it's kind of a weird rooting interest, though. If you really want Trey Hendrickson, then you really want the Bengals to basically lose every game between now and the trade deadline. And maybe the Lions could trade for him.
It almost feels like this week is the crossroads week in the NFL. Nobody wants to start off 0-3. And if you start off 3-0, they have stats to back up. You know, teams that start off 0-3, they don't make the playoffs and whatever. There's a lot of 0-2 teams out there right now. But they're not all bad teams. Like the Browns aren't a, I don't know how bad the Browns are. The Browns can always give you fits though, because their defense is solid. They host the Packers. Would it surprise you if Cleveland beats Green Bay in Cleveland?
I mean, in the NFL, it's hard to get surprised. I guess I would be surprised, but part of me wants to say, no, it wouldn't surprise me.
The Browns, yeah, it would take a lot for something to surprise me in the NFL nowadays.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, Doug.
It's possible. Green Bay's a heavy favorite. I don't like Cleveland on the number. Just saying. That was, I kind of like Cleveland and the number. I don't know why I mumbled it.
Keeping it quiet for an hour for now.
Yeah. We got another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That coming up a little bit later on. We'll get into Michigan and Nebraska next. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, Scott Anderson.
Yes, Doug Karsh.
Let's talk a little Michigan-Nebraska game I'm heading out to after the show today. Lincoln, great town, very friendly fan base. There's always kind of a bit, and I'm going to ask Jansen about this in the pregame, a little bit of undercurrent of tension between these two teams dating back to 97. But I have found it to be a great road trip, and I know Michigan and Michigan State, that's Nebraska's next two games, Michigan and then Michigan State. I doubt the Michigan fans listening right now are still considering whether or not they're going to go, but if you are, I highly recommend that trip. Spartan fans, if you're thinking about it, I highly recommend that trip. I just couldn't believe this was true. I had to circle back and double and triple check it. Nebraska has lost 27 consecutive games against ranked opponents.
Wow. Well, let's take a quick analysis of this. Nebraska hasn't been very good since entering the Big Ten. And when you enter the Big Ten, you're going to face typically three or four or more ranked opponents every year, season, because the Big Ten is chock full of really good teams. And we know they struggled mightily with Scott Frost. Thought that was going to be a perfect fit. You know, the prodigal son returns home, and it didn't happen. They just can't figure things out there. Now, Matt Rhule is a really good football coach, but he still is trying to get it going there. They thought they had it going with recruiting because they got the top recruit in the country last year with Dylan Raiola, and he struggled a little bit his first year. But now they start off 3-0 here, feel pretty good. This is an important game for their program.
It is.
It really is.
They're putting a lot into this.
And Michigan is ranked. They're ranked 21st in the country right now. So this is one of these almost like a pick 'em game. Right now, this spread is at 1.5. Michigan's a favorite. That's down from 2.5, but they're minus 1.5 now. If you look at the matchup predictor from ESPN, according to their analytics, 50.3% in favor of Nebraska, 49.7% in favor of Michigan. I mean, this is one of those right down the middle. The weather should be great, right?
Yep. It's going to rain overnight. But
during the day, nothing. It looks like 72 and sunny. And I have to ask you this because you know you've been there. Great crowd. Mm-hmm. They love Nebraska football.
Sea of red.
It's a sea of red. But is it hostile territory?
Yeah, it is. In fact, it's... One of my last seasons on the sidelines, Michigan played a night game there, and it's chaotic. There's something about fan accessibility to the field level.
Oh,
like the first row is on the field, and there's a chain link fence that separates the fans and where they can walk and the bench areas. When you're on at field level, you look across at the other side, there's fans everywhere. Like there's fans everywhere. It's chaos. It's visual. I remember in that game, JJ McCarthy ran a play and he was a freshman then. And he looked to the sidelines and looked around and they wanted to change the play and he didn't see him. And he just clapped his hands, took the snap and ran the original play. And I'd never experienced that before where it was, I realized that the home field advantage, it could be visual as well. It's really weird. Now, some sideline passes, the people who are allowed through the fence, sometimes at big schools, Penn State and Nebraska in particular, seem to be ones where there's a lot of media on the field. That may or may not be media, but whatever. I mean, I'm your stadium, you do with it what you want, but at the end of the day, it was an awfully packed and chaotic sideline. It is a hostile place to play. Something else that might play a factor here, Bud Crawford, the boxer, hardcore Nebraska guy. He's from the state. He's got a relationship with Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule, after the Houston Christian game, flew out to Vegas last Saturday and went to the Crawford Canelo Alvarez fight. And, you know, there's a chance he's going to be at this game. There's a chance he's going to speak to the team before. Like there's everybody in Nebraska media is speculating that Bud Crawford's going to be there and lead the team out with his championship belt. And so that's, you know, that's going to add some extra juice. They're honoring the 1995 national championship team as well. But so Nebraska defensively, they have not allowed an opponent more than 70 yards through the air. Their yards per game allowed passing is like 63. It's like 30 yards better than anybody else in the country. It's by far the best passing defense in terms of yards allowed. They haven't allowed one pass play of more than 19 yards. Only team in the country that can say that. Michigan's wide receivers are a developing group they haven't like exploded yet. It was interesting. Biff Poggi doing the coach's show with John on Monday said he's challenging the receivers this week to make more plays and to do some stuff. I suspect Nebraska, they love that their DC, former DB coach, loves to play man. I suspect they're going to crowd the line of scrimmage. They're going to load up the box. They're going to play man on the outside and dare Michigan to beat them through the air. And I will offer up this. Michigan's most dangerous game in the pass, most dangerous play in the pass game might be Bryce Underwood's scramble. Because if you scramble and get out of there and Nebraska's in man coverage and defensive backs are looking at receivers and not right, eyes but, in the backfield, yep. Big play opportunities for Bryce.
Could be.
But you know, we'll see. It's not like you can plan that, hey, we'll just have our guy scramble and he'll go get big yardage. He's got to be able to escape the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska's going to be tough to read because of who they played. You know, Houston Christian and it was Akron. I mean, combined, it's a lot of points. 127 points and giving up seven.
They have their punter hasn't punted since August.
Well, so there's
that. You know what they did with him last week because he hadn't been on the field? They put him in on victory formation. He's a freshman from Australia, and he's like, "What am I supposed to do?" He says, "Just go back there and stand there."
just go.
He's the kid that went viral when they asked.
Just do it.
When he was a kid that went viral and they asked him what it was like to fly across and he got all emotional, start crying and everybody loved it. But
play that card.
Well, he can punt with both feet. They can roll him out right and punt or roll him out left and punt. I don't know if it makes a damn bit of difference, but he can't.
Ambidextrous punt punter.
Yeah, I guess. Let's go to Dustin. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Dustin.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, so I'm a Spartan alum. Me and a bunch of friends went to Nebraska when they first came in the Big Ten, whenever that was, 12, 13 years ago, and had a great time. Everybody was super nice. And towards the end of the trip, one of the people we had met had said, you know, hey, yeah, you know, we really like you guys. And I said, well, why is that? And they said, well, we both have a common enemy in Michigan. And I said, oh, okay. And they're still holding a grudge from 1997 having to share the title.
Well, that goes both ways.
Yeah.
Michigan holds a grudge against Nebraska.
It's funny because, Dustin, I've been there several times, and they really are a great fan base. They're super welcoming. But for Michigan, when Michigan and Nebraska are on the same field, there is this undercurrent of tension. That's you can sense it. It's not like they're ever going to decide that. But it seems like every time they play, even 28 years later, it's still trying to be decided. But anyway, I'm excited for this.
So they're honoring the 95 team. Is that that's Corey Schlesinger's team?
I don't think it is, but let me look.
I thought
look
he was part of the national championship when he was a senior there, I think.
Did they share the Big Ten title that year, too, because of the whole national championship?
No, Kang.
Nebraska's in the Big Ten, Doug.
They weren't that year, Kang. 1995, Nebraska Cornhuskers. I got a roster here.
Big Ten legend, Corey Schlesinger.
Yeah, I'll never forget.
This was the Brooks Berenger team. Tommy Frazier was on that team. Scott Frost was on that team. I suspect he won't be back. Amon Green.
Oh, he was good.
Yep, running back. And I thought Schlesinger was earlier than that, and he perhaps was. I don't see him on this roster.
Hmm.
Lawrence Phillips.
Lawrence Phillips.
Was on that team.
That's the championship team you're looking at?
Yeah. Yeah. The 95. The Peter brothers, Christian and Jason Peter, were on that team. So, all right. Another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That coming up. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. I want to get caught up on some text messages. Gator, what do you do with your smoked Swiss? Because I found smoked Swiss is great in grilled cheese, in a grilled cheese and a slice of American cheese with it.
I can see that, yeah. I'll tell you what I did is I cut into the thin pieces, and I would my method for making hot dogs now is the air fryer.
Yeah.
And just shake.
Me too.
Yeah, for dog. Every 90 seconds, I kind of shake the air fryer to move them around a little bit. And then when the dogs are just about, when they're done, basically, I take them out and I take the cheese and I put it in a hot dog bun.
Mm-hmm.
And on either, and then I put the hot dog in there, and then I put the dogs back into the air fryer for another 60 seconds or so.
Okay.
So the cheese melts just a little bit. And it's fantastic.
It only melts a little bit in 60 seconds?
Well, in the air fryer, yeah, because the hot dog's on top of it, basically. So you got to go penetrate through the bread and the dog. I mean, it does melt, but it's not, I don't let it go all the way. You can, but I prefer to have a little bit of give to it. So, but that's what I found to be fantastic with that cheese. Getting it melty and grilled is amazing.
Regarding the Spartan game starting at 11 p.m., these comments sound like comments from people without young children. I'm not staying up to 2 a.m. just to get up with my kids at 6 a.m. That's from Max in Bath, Michigan.
Yeah, sucks to be you, Max.
Does it?
You can't stay up because he's got the... No kidding! If you've got responsibilities, I got it. Yeah.
Kids, all of them, right, Doug?
Yes.
That's to believe the... Yeah.
Well, no, it's the holier-than-thou attitude of like, hey, you don't have young... Okay, I got it. No kidding. You've got something to do. Okay, great. Go be a great father.
So what's funny is...
Don't yell at me because I can
stay up late. He's not yelling. He literally just said the comments of people who don't say, why are you... sound like people who don't have kids. I have kids. I can't do it. That's all he was saying.
Yeah, I know what he's saying. I picked
up. Sure, you don't hate kids, Scott.
Kids
are
all
fine.
Of them.
Kids are fine. The parents who throw it in your face, those guys.
I have zero problem paying $15 or $16 for a beer at a Tiger or Lion game, yet I get really pissed off when I pay $15 for a full gallon of fresh apple cider. Maybe I'm the problem. It's on the
texter. A little self-reflection in there.
How many quants would it take to beat a giraffe? That's from John in Lake Orion.
Well, Doug, we got to ask you, right?
I said earlier, a team full of Stephen Kwans would never lose. And then this guy said, I'm glad you guys brought up 9 Kwans because I'm actually going to make a roster of 9 Kwans and MLB The Show just to see what would happen.
You change the name?
What's that?
Can you change the name of the players?
Why would you?
Now batting Stephen Kwan. On deck, Stephen Kwan.
Stephen Kwan's on first. Stephen Kwan's on second. Stephen Kwan's on third. Kwan at the plate, Kwan on the hole.
Who's warming up? Oh, it's Stephen Kwan.
Kwan's got this.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a pinch hitter here. I think I'm going to bat Kwan for Kwan.
Wait a minute. We have 10 Kwans now? Wait a second. I thought we were only operating on the 9 Kwan system.
And we've already established that even 8 Kwans would beat the Tigers.
Right, yeah. But you can't go, don't tell me you got 10 Kwans. Now you're stretching a little bit too much.
Now we're getting ridiculous.
Yeah, come on.
All right, are you ready for another edition? Are you going to eat that?
Yes.
Here we go.
All right, this is from the Mountain Dew Fan Club Facebook page. I'm going to read this as it's written. After what feels like years and years of waiting for an update, Taco Bell confirmed last night that a Baja Blast pie will be hitting Taco Bell locations around Thanksgiving this year. Described as being key lime pie-like, it was insanely good. The Baja Blast Pie, Gator, from Taco Bell. If indeed this Facebook page is correct, are you going to eat that?
Hell yeah, I'm going to eat that. I love key lime pie. So if this is going to be anything like key lime pie, I'll give it a shot. Mountain Dew Baja Blast is great. It's great. I got to do the zero sugar version of it. But
do you think they have a zero sugar pie?
I'm guessing no.
No, but this is the thing. As a pie, you got to have a slice. Daddy's got to try it. Man. Hell yeah, I'm all about that.
Okay.
Dude, this sounds so unnatural and so good.
I'm all in, man.
What's that color? What is that?
Dude, the color, have you seen the color?
I'm guessing it's a greenish blue.
Yeah. Ish, yes. Yeah. Emphasize on the ish. I'm in, though. Sounds delicious.
Got a
Doug, come on.
Turquoise pie over here.
Is that teal? So hot in the 90s.
I'm not going to try.
Come on.
Not a chance in hell.
Lime.
Not a chance in hell. I'm not a key lime pie fan.
Lime. Cerveza.
Next up, M&M's is releasing 3 new candies. And they do this every year where you like vote and they keep one on. Here are the 3 that you can vote between.
Okay.
Peanut butter cinnamon roll. Oh. Cherry chocolate cupcake. And lemon meringue pie. Wow. Quick descriptions. According to the story, peanut butter cinnamon roll has a strong peanut butter M&M flavor. It's very similar to those. A hint of cinnamon at the end is overly sweet and slightly artificial tasting. The cherry chocolate cupcake flavor tastes essentially like a chocolate covered cherry with extra rich dark chocolate indulgence. And the lemon meringue pie one, this one has a crunchy interior, almost like a cookie with deep citrusy flavors and white chocolate. Gator, are there any of these that you wouldn't eat?
I mean, I'd try all 3 of them, but if I have to narrow it down to the one,
yeah,
I'm going to rule out the lemon meringue because white chocolate is just fake chocolate. I was really intrigued with a peanut butter cinnamon roll, and then I thought, well, why not just have cinnamon roll? Why are we adding peanut butter to the mix? You don't have to. I don't actually want peanut butter on my cinnamon roll. So that's out. The cherry chocolate cupcake one sounds delicious. And I like dark chocolate, so I think it's a great combo. That's what
we know you hate white chocolate. So
yeah, dude, I had no idea you didn't like white chocolate.
It's fake chocolate. It's not even real chocolate.
It's
literally not chocolate. So
if it was called something different, would you like it?
I mean,
because it tastes great. I think white chocolate's amazing.
I don't have a problem.
I like it better than regular chocolate.
Doug somehow thinks it's healthier without the color.
It's the other white meat.
So you're a yes on all 3, but specifically the cherry
Yeah,
covered in chocolate.
Kang, does one stand out to you, or you down with all three?
I'm down with all three, but I like your reasoning on all of them. That's a personal preference too. But yeah, I'm in all three. They sound
okay.
Good.
I'm not going to try any of these, but the one that I just think sounds terrible is a lemon meringue M&M.
See, I love lemon flavor, but I mean, I don't need a lemon M&M.
Okay,
yeah, lemon M.
11M. Yeah, nice.
Doritos is up to some things here.
Oh, here you go, Doritos.
They are releasing, in honor of Stranger Things, Doritos Minis glow-in-the-dark spicy sweet chili. A glow-in-the-dark food.
No. No. Absolutely not. No. Although the curiosity of what happens after.
Oh, yeah. Can you see it in your stomach? Like, does it glow through your skin when you eat it?
Keep going, Kenny.
Does it glow after the stomach?
Keep going down the...
Does it glow there? Oh, does it glow there?
Oh, my God. Oh!
Keg, you interested?
So Skinwalker Ranch? What the hell is that?
Gator's a no.
Did someone request it to glow in the dark? Like, well, why are we doing this?
Who the hell's eating a glow in the dark food?
Is this like late night snack? You don't have to turn on the lights.
That
you know where it's at.
Legitimately, a Stranger Thing.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna pull a Doug Carr. This is too unnatural. Now at this point, we've gone the other way.
Three for three. Yeah. We're all
supernatural.
Okay, Doritos is also releasing, and this one's weird. They're introducing, this is a limited edition, and it's only available in the UK for now. A black garlic dip. Again, it's a Stranger Things. It's paying homage to Stranger Things. This new dip features a creamy texture, bold flavor profile, and a charcoal black color. Black garlic dip is strategically timed with the release of Halloween. Gator, I have a picture here. It looks like tar. It's a black garlic
dip.
I don't know if the cameras
to look
can
like.
Pick it up for those of you watching on Twitch or YouTube, but it looks like
you've dipped a Dorito in black.
Yeah, it's like a tar.
All right,
consistency.
So when you first started, it's kind of thought, okay, well, it's made with black garlic, and it's just black roasted garlic. It's fine. I'd try that, but now you're showing me what it looks like. Yeah, I'd still try it. I'm
okay.
Yeah, but I'm reluctant, but I'd try it.
Can you?
So it's hard to turn down garlic, but easy to turn down tar. So I'm torn here. I would try it because I love garlic that much, but I appeal not the best.
Yeah.
Is it going to result in black tarry stool?
Probably. Imagine if you dip the glow-in-the-dark Doritos in the black tar.
No. No. Yes.
Finally,
no.
Finally, McDonald's in Canada is rolling out a new McVeggie burger. The new vegetarian-friendly menu will land on locations starting in the middle of September, features a breaded veggie patty made with a blend of seasonings, including carrots, green beans, zucchini, peas, soybeans, broccoli, and corn, and a creamy mayo-style sauce on a toasted sesame seed bun. Customers also have the option of a spicy habanero version, too. The McDonald's McVeggie Burger, Gator, would you eat that?
I'm curious about the nutritional content of this. Like, it sounds like it should be healthy as hell, and yet they typically aren't.
I know.
No. If I want a burger, I'm going to get a damn burger. Kang. A real burger. A real bona fide
right
burger made with ground beef.
Kang, yep. You enthusiastic about this one?
Dude, I'm borderline hostile against like the fake meat stuff. Like, don't, yeah, the veggie, the black bean, I'm out.
So,
I want real meat, like you said, Gator.
I'm a yes, I will try it. The only fake meat thing that I've had, though, that really resonates, because I don't need fake beef. The Burger King Impossible Whopper is really good. For those of you that don't eat red meat, I highly recommend that. I will try this. I don't have high hopes for it because most of the meat substitutes, quite frankly, aren't very good. So there you go. That's it. Another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? Talk to the Birchy Kid from Allen Park next and our picks at 140 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.